Friday, October 29th, 1943. My dearest Kitty, Mr. Kleiman is out again. His stomach won't give him a moment's peace. He doesn't even know whether it stopped bleeding. He came to tell us he wasn't feeling well and was going home, and for the first time he seemed really down. Mr. and Mrs. Vandy have had more raging battles. The reason is simple. They're broke. They wanted to sell an overcoat and a suit of Mr. Vandy's, but were unable to find any buyers. His prices were way too high. Some time ago, Mr. Kleiman was talking about a furrier he knows. This gave Mr. Vandy the idea of selling his wife's fur coat. It's made of rabbit skin, and she's had it for 17 years. Mrs. Vandy got 325 guilders for it, an enormous amount. She wanted to keep the money herself to buy new clothes after the war, and it took some doing before Mr. Vandy could make her understand that it was desperately needed to cover household expenses. You can't imagine the screaming, shouting, stamping of feet, and swearing that went on. It was terrifying. My family stood holding its breath at the bottom of the stairs, in case it might be necessary to drag them apart. All the bickering, tears, and nervous tension have become such a stress and strain that I fall into my bed at night, crying and thanking my lucky stars that I have half an hour to myself. I'm doing fine, except I've got no appetite. I keep hearing, "Goodness, you look awful." I must admit, they're doing their best to keep me in condition. They're plying me with dextrose, cod liver oil, brewer's yeast, and calcium. My nerves often get the better of me, especially on Sundays. That's when I really feel miserable. The atmosphere is stifling, sluggish, leaden. Outside, you don't hear a single bird, and a deathly, oppressive silence hangs over the house and clings to me as if it were going to drag me into the deepest regions of the underworld. At times like these, Father, Mother, and Margot don't matter to me in the least. I wander from room to room, climb up and down the stairs, and feel like a songbird whose wings have been ripped off and who keeps hurling itself against the bars of its dark cage. "Let me out where there's fresh air and laughter," a voice within me cries. I don't even bother to reply anymore, but lie down on the divan. Sleep makes the silence and the terrible fear go by more quickly. Helps pass the time, since it's impossible to kill it. Yours, Anne. Saturday, October 30th, 1943. Dearest Kitty, Mother's nerves are very much on edge, and that doesn't bode well for me. Is it just a coincidence that Father and Mother never scold Margot and always blame me for everything? Last night, for example, Margot was reading a book with beautiful illustrations. She got up and put the book aside for later. I wasn't doing anything, so I picked it up and began looking at the pictures. Margot came back, saw her book in my hands, knitted her brow, and angrily demanded the book back. I wanted to look through it some more. Margot got madder by the minute, and Mother butted in, "Margot was reading that book. Give it back to her." Father came in and, without even knowing what was going on, saw that Margot was being wronged and lashed out at me. "I'd like to see what you'd do if Margot was looking at one of your books." I promptly gave in, put the book down, and, according to them, left the room in a huff. I was neither huffy nor cross, but merely sad. It wasn't right of Father to pass judgment without knowing what the issue was. I would have given the book to Margot myself, and a lot sooner, if Father and Mother hadn't intervened and rushed to take Margot's part as if she were suffering some great injustice. Of course, Mother took Margot's side. They always take each other's sides. I'm so used to it that I become completely indifferent to Mother's rebukes and Margot's moodiness. I love them, but only because they're Mother and Margot. I don't give a darn about them as people. As far as I'm concerned, they can go jump in a lake. It's different with Father. When I see him being partial to Margot, approving Margot's every action, praising her, hugging her, I feel a gnawing ache inside because I'm crazy about him. I model myself after Father, and there's no one in the world I love more. He doesn't realize that he treats Margot differently than he does me. Margot just happens to be the smartest, the kindest, the prettiest, and the best. But I have a right to be taken seriously, too. I've always been the clown and mischief maker of the family. I've always had to pay double for my sins, once with scoldings and then again with my own sense of despair. I'm no longer satisfied with the meaningless affection or the supposedly serious talks. I long for something from Father that he's incapable of giving. I'm not jealous of Margot. I never have been. I'm not envious of her brains or her beauty. It's just that I'd like to feel that Father really loves me, not because I'm his child, but because I'm me, Anne. I cling to Father because my contempt of Mother is growing daily, and it's only through him that I'm able to retain the last ounce of family feeling I have left. He doesn't understand that I sometimes need to vent my feelings for Mother. He doesn't want to talk about it, and he avoids any discussion involving Mother's failings. And yet Mother, with all her shortcomings, is tougher for me to deal with. I don't know how I should act. I can't very well confront her with her carelessness, her sarcasm, and her hard-heartedness, yet I can't continue to take the blame for everything. I'm the opposite of Mother, so of course we clash. I don't mean to judge her, I don't have that right. I'm simply looking at her as a mother. She's not a mother to me. I have to mother myself. I've cut myself adrift from them. I'm charting my own course and we'll see where it leads me. I have no choice, because I can picture what a mother and a wife should be and can't seem to find anything of the sort in the woman I'm supposed to call mother. I tell myself time and again to overlook Mother's bad example. I only want to see her good points and to look inside myself for what's lacking in her. But it doesn't work, and the worst part is that Father and Mother don't realize their own inadequacies and how much I blame them for letting me down. Are there any parents who can make their children completely happy? Sometimes I think God is trying to test me, both now and in the future. I'll have to become a good person on my own, without anyone to serve as a model or advise me, but it'll make me stronger in the end. Who else but me is ever going to read these letters? Who else but me can I turn to for comfort? I'm frequently in need of consolation. I often feel weak, and more often than not, I fail to meet expectations. I know this, and every day I resolve to do better. They aren't consistent in their treatment of me. One day they say that Anne's a sensible girl and entitled to know everything, and the next that Anne's a silly goose who doesn't know a thing and yet imagines she's learned all she needs to know from books. I'm no longer the baby and spoiled little darling whose every deed can be laughed at. I have my own ideas, plans, and ideals, but am unable to articulate them yet.